CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some. You know what that sound is? Wake up! It's the worst, guys. Malcolm Dewey in the building with Ria Besosele.
Yo, it's R-E-H-A-B. What is happening?
What is happening? G, you good, dog? You good?
I am so... Yes. No, the way...
I am a god.
Are you a god?
That's what I feel like right now. I feel like Kanye West. Yeah. I am a god.
What's making you feel on top of the world, my brother?
I don't know. It's just this good vibrations, these good energy. You know, people forget that, like, the people you surround yourself with, you know, they're gonna sway your mood one way or the other. So you gotta surround yourself with like-minded people, same kind of energy people, and that's how you're gonna succeed. I've just been flourishing this year. Y'all motherfuckers would say 2016 was shit. Your life is shit.
Exactly.
Not 2016.
2016 has been mad dope, if you ask me. Doing some crazy things, man. Especially as the worst guys. We've flown, guys. Thank you for everybody who's been listening to us and supporting us thus far. I mean, it's been more than a year, just over a year. We just had our birthday in November. And what can I say? It's almost the end of the year. It almost feels like it's time to reflect, time to look back on what we've all done as individuals and, you know, start to look to the future, because I don't want to put pressure on people to make New Year's resolutions and the like.
Fucking New Year's resolution, actually.
Nobody
sticks to it. It's because, I'm going to actually go to the gym, Margie. You know, New Year's resolution for 2017 comes in, you get that contract, the gym contract. All you ever do is sign in and sign out, because if you don't go to the gym, then Vitality is going to take their rewards back.
Yeah.
You don't actually gym.
Yeah, you just have to in order not to waste your debit order.
Yes, it's Beverly from Bryanston.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing for me, man. I don't necessarily think it has to be at the beginning of the year. It's just a good time, because a lot of things start to change after December and January. New season coming in. Most people are doing something new with their lives. If you're talking about school, we're talking about university students going on to a new year, or even us as grown-ups living in the world, man, what new ventures we are looking forward to, what's happening in 2017 that we can look forward to. Actually, I don't even want to go to 2017. 2016 is still lit. Let me tell you about Bloemfontein, my boy. It was in Bloemfontein. Was it Bloemfontein this weekend with a few comedians, Prince, Tabiso Mhlongo, Charles Ash, and myself as the host for the show at the Civic Theatre. And it was incredible, man. You know, one of those special nights where we got treated well. We went out afterwards, and Bloem is where I'm originally from. Shout out to Bloemfontein. Actually, let me give them some love, yo. There's still something about that place. I spent 5 years of my life.
City of Roses.
City of Roses.
5-1.
yeah.
Apparently, that's a swear word. You
I
know?
Got this lady in the 051. In the 051. In the 051. She might my lady, but she might just be the one.
Woo!
Worst. Yeah. So Bloemfontein was really, really cool, man. Met up with some old school friends and party till the sun came up after the show, because it was so turnt, man. I'm so happy to be working in the comedy industry in South Africa, because there's some real, real, real talent out here, man. And people are going to be surprised. People are going to be so surprised at how comedians are going to blow them away, either on stage or on TV or whatever form they choose. I'm telling you, this industry is super lit, super, super lit. So that was my weekend, man. I had such a good time. How was your weekend?
Bruh, first and foremost, shout out to God.
Shout out to God. What are we shouting him out for?
For, you know, assisting with my sister having, you know, stress-free delivery, you know.
Shout out to God for that.
You know, uncle part two, because I already got a nephew. Two nephews. I don't fucks with no nieces.
Fuck them nieces.
Niggas gonna fuck my nieces anyway, so fuck them niggas.
Yeah. I mean, so you're an uncle times two. No, that's
hey,
so dope, man.
And the thing is, it's so lit right now, because the one is Asanda. He's about 12 years old.
Yeah.
And the other one, Manza, he's just...
Yeah.
Well, he's like ours, boy. He's like ours.
Yeah. No, that's so dope. Congrats, man.
Oh, hey. You know, it's getting real now. Now I'm really setting an example in life. You know?
What are you going to teach? What's the first thing? Surely, because they're nephews, you've got to teach them game.
Yes.
As an uncle, that's your number one responsibility. You got to teach them how to play the game. You know,
but now I'm going to show them how to be a lava.
A lava,
a casinova.
A casinova.
I'm going to show them how to be the baddest, like a Luther Vandross. Luther Vandross was bad.
But he had that silky smooth voice just too.
I thought about you. At least you say it too. I thought about you. He was even shouting out mama. If I could get one final. I swear, if Luther Vandross went to any African American household, to any single mom, he would have nailed it.
You would have tried. That's the only song he plays,
you know.
I definitely agree with
bad
that.
Bad man.
Okay, so
but I have to set them right for wrong, basically. But
yeah, for sure. But you can always be the cool uncle. That's the thing. That's the dope part. You're still young. You're still out there. You know?
You know what I was already thinking about? Picking them up from school. Yo, your uncle is the worst guy. Damn right, my uncle is the worst guy.
His life is already lit, bro. His life is already dope. All right, cool, man. Now it's good catching up with you, bro. I feel like we need to get in touch with our Drake side just for a second before we get into the show for today. We're going to be talking about our parental influences. As the youth, you know, we've come to a point where we're breaking into adulthood and we want to think about what influence our parents have on our lives. And are they always right? Do they make the best decisions for us, or can they learn anything from their children? I think this is an interesting conversation for both parents and children, just to see maybe what you can take from either side. And we'll be right back after the song. I feel like I'm in my feelings because it's raining outside, it's cloudy. I don't know.
Number one, it's not raining. Two, it is cloudy.
It is cloudy.
How the hell did you go from high energy to in your feelings, bruh? We were lit right now. Now you see.
I'm thinking
don't
about
Drake.
You don't want me to Drake. Okay, what are you?
No, you can Drake it, but it's too late now. Jeez.
Okay, I can't even find this track. Maybe it's not meant to be, bruh. Let's do this. Let's just say let me get quiet. Make it clap.
With what?
Yeah. Baby, you got a bright future behind you. Bars. That's Jason Derulo featuring Snoop Dogg, Wiggle. Yeah, man. I felt you, man. We need to turn it up in here. Y'all need to wiggle. It's still December, boss. So come rain or shine, it's going to be hot up in these streets. I don't know though. I have been feeling a bit of a slowdown. Any traffic jams that you've been stuck in lately, my boy? Or is it still the same old hustle?
Nah, man, it's just the same old hustle. The thing is, I let my success do the talking. I don't call my shots before, you know, I actually play them. I do them in silent, bro. Then when Oaks finally see, you know, congrats. Yeah, I appreciate the love and support, but I'm already on the next one, bro.
You're already working on the next hustle, bro.
And that's the life of an outlier. We different.
You need to be futuristic about your lives. And that's what I think. Ultimately, the show The Worst Guys is all about, man. We want to take it to that place where it's never been before. And part of the name, just the fact that a lot of the times in this fake-ass world that we live in, a lot of the time, people are covering shit up. People are putting on too much makeup. People are telling you lies, telling you stories about who they are and what they are. And that's not what we want out of this conversation. We want to know who you are. You know you have flaws too. That's the worst of you, the worst guys. But look at the bow tie. We've also got the bow tie. You keep it classy. We keep it snazzy. You know, we appreciate every bit of ourselves, as you should too. There's more to what you put out there for people to know. There's you. And, you know, we can't forget that that's who you are. All right. But yeah, man, I have been feeling a little bit slowed down by the Joburg City. People are going on holiday. People are going to nice excursions in Cape Town even, bro.
Dude, and I feel like in terms of working in retail, it's the busiest season for me. So like,
I'm living in a rush.
But I still managed to get done what I... See, that's another thing people forget. You know, there's 24 hours in the motherfucking day.
Yeah.
Use them wisely. Don't be saying, oh, I don't have enough time, bro. No, it's bullshit.
Yeah. All right, so today we're going to take a lighter note on the news, I believe, just because it's about our boy Juju. I feel like Juju...
Our savior.
Yeah. So let's introduce you to the news today. Yeah, extra read all about it. If Malema was president, has been trending on Twitter recently. And can I just tell you guys, how long ago have we been talking about Malema being the president
See,
of this
is
country?
The thing. We are future thinkers. This is what we're trying to influence y'all to do. So that's why you got to keep up with us.
Keep up, yeah. Keep up with the worst, guys. So if Malema was president, what do you think his first order of business would be, my man? What do you suggest he'd do?
Ah, sus. Yo. There's so much that he said he'd want to do.
Firstly, I think he'd make a stake of acclaim in Cape Town somewhere, in the nice mountains. Because I think Cape Town is the most divided in terms of land redistribution. I know Julius is all about the land distribution.
I feel like he's the guy who's going to shock everybody. He's going to get in and Oaks are going to expect him to do something buck. These guys are going to be like, okay, guys, just chill.
Yeah, let there be peace on earth.
Just for a second, just chill. Let's absorb the fact that I'm president, finally. We're going to get to work tomorrow. But that's the first thing he's going to do. He's going to tell everybody, just chill.
Yeah.
We got them now. I'm joking.
We got them in the palm of our hands.
I'm joking. Am I?
No, I don't think so. But look, it was surprising to me, well, to a few people. I was listening to a podcast of Eugene Koza and Gareth Cliff, and he was talking about the march that they had to save South Africa in Pretoria earlier this year. The same day the state capture was released, the state capture report was released. And he was talking about how organized Malema's EFF rally was, bruh. I think we undermined this guy's ability for too long, actually. We've undermined him. We've all called him an idiot at some point. It's because Trevor Noah's influence, bruh. And then now he's actually got valid things to offer.
You know, this is what happens when you get an educated visionary
who's been in the struggle from
the
beginning,
and he understands.
Yeah.
But now when you've got just a fucking unpopular visionary and no education, your vision sways to the wrong direction, you know?
Yeah.
You see
yeah.
everything that glitters and shines, and you're like, I gotta have that. My people gotta have that. But the thing is, you don't run this country for your people. You run it for the rest of South Africa, and you gotta take everybody into consideration with everything that you do.
Yeah. Do you think he wouldn't fall prey to corruption like everybody has so far? I wouldn't say everybody, but the way the ANC is right now. I think he loves this country more than he loves himself. That's genuinely what I believe about Julius Malema. You know, as opposed to Jacob. Jacob definitely loves himself way more than he loves this country. Like, it's not even a competition.
Like, I don't know. It's also the way he says it in whenever he speaks. This country, our country.
Yeah.
Like, he really gets the core of it, bruh. Like.
Yeah. And if Malema was president, I think we'd start making movements to changing the name of our country to Azania, which is something that's so important to our identity as a nation, because it was obviously stolen from us, but we'd have an opportunity to get it back. And I think one of the first things we'd need to do is rename the country so that we have an identity. South Africa doesn't mean anything. It's just a direction.
South of Africa.
Yeah. We need an identity more than anybody, because in the whole rainbow nation bullshit hogwash, we kind of got sidetracked and we've kind of lost who we are as a nation, what we are as a nation. I mean, this is probably the only country where the people who are in power, the white supremacists or whatever you'd like to call it, don't know the native language of the land. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're
Most
saying.
White people don't know an African language. Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. We need to understand, how is it that we still don't have an African representative name, a name that
of
represents South Africa, of our land? Because because Azania is about Africa, the roots of Africa, and we don't have that representation.
It's not like they named Spain, you know, that thing that just hangs off the end there.
Yeah,
in Europe.
South America. Yeah. So we
South America, nigga. Let's not just let that one fly. Spain is in Europe, my boy.
Okay, we'll Google that.
What do you mean you need to Google that?
Spain is not that lit. I don't think.
Dude, Spain is in Europe, my boy.
Oh yeah, wait. Name the capital of Spain. What is the capital of Spain?
Madrid.
I don't know, actually. Let's check this out. Anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about education. That's what you need to go get. I'm joking.
I'm talking about
Dude, Malemzolo. Malemzolo. Yeah. Let's be real. Let's Malemzolo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If he was president, I rate he would represent us the way we need to be represented in the in this country. That's all I. That's all I know. That's all I know. If Malema was president, y'all are telling
you. Look, it's gonna happen, right? When do you think it'll happen by?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because let's be realistic. As the future thinkers that we are, I know what's going to happen. Now, let me tell you that right now. Malema is going to be the president of South Africa.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're saying one day it's definitely happening.
He's going to be the president of Azania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice, I like that.
See, but when do you picture this happening?
Wow. Okay, look, I don't think Zuma will last the pressure until 2019. I think it would take some incredible sort of resilience. Nuts. And although he's shown it already, Mr. Jay-Z 783, but I mean, to go all the way to 2019 riding and being a bad man, I don't think he'll be able to do that. So I don't know if Malema will become president in 2019, but I think we'll start to see a change of leadership in either the ANC, if the ANC wishes to stay, and if there isn't a change of leadership, then I think it's over for the ANC. I know maybe some people might call that early, and yeah, maybe it is, but I genuinely don't believe the ANC fully backs Zuma because they realize that he's disintegrating the entire party. And I also don't believe that Zuma can last that long, and I don't think he's willing to let go of the power. That's the problem. So he's gonna have to get kicked out, or the ANC is gonna have to fall.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I believe about that. All right. Cool. So we're just gonna get into the topic of the day, which is our parents, man, and what kind of influence they have on our lives, on our decisions. For me, let's just play a track, a young track, and then we'll get back into that conversation. Yeah. We'll catch you on the flippity flum. Yo, that was Beyonce 7-Eleven, and she's fresher than you without a doubt. Yeah, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about Julius Malema. If Julius Malema was president, was trending on Twitter earlier this morning. And there's been a few interesting tweets, you know, some of them that are catching the waves are one from @excellentmajola. If Malema was president, Lobola will be refundable. do you think Lobola should be refundable?
In trying to uplift this country, I think remove that Lobola of yours.
Lobola has been preaching. Yeah. I think Lobola should be refundable because, I mean, like, what happens if the marriage is a flop? What happens? Now you've spent all that money. Ah, dude, actually, it 100% should be refundable. Malema, shout out. Shout out, actually. Now that I really think about it, you're the G, the real MVP of this country. Okay, but yeah, like I said, we're going to go into the topic of the day.
Malema, something else. Tell you that.
Yeah, so first, we want to talk about the parental influence that we receive as children and even into our adult lives. I found that as I've grown older, I've started to realize more and more that our parents are just human beings. They're just like us. They make mistakes. There's certain things that they don't understand. And those growing up makes you realize that you can have a relationship with your parents that doesn't necessarily have to do with dominance and power. And that's what happens from a young age.
I think they instill that hierarchy upon you.
Yeah, and it's that hierarchy that...
And it goes even deeper to the point where it's not necessarily just the parents or the kids. It's the parents, and then it infiltrates, micromanages into the kids. Like, this one comes before you, know your place as well, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we all equal. Well, we are, in a sense.
That's what I feel. I feel like we are like, all equal as human beings. And that's what makes the relationship sometimes a bit tough between parents and children.
And it shouldn't be a thing of dominance. It should be like, here, I brought you to earth. Let me guide you.
Yeah, yeah.
Become your own thing, bro.
That's ultimately what the idea is. But then some children don't listen. There's some rebels.
Hey, say, derail, bro. Derail.
One thing I must be happy for, to my parents, shout out that I'm not a drug addict or something. Unless y'all are counting weed, because then, mom, you didn't fuck.
No, fuck it. Listen. Number one. Yeah. Okay. Look at our lives.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And then you compare it to a lot of I'm afraid to say this, young black lives.
Yeah.
Number one, we finished high school.
Yeah.
With a matric, with a university exemption.
Yeah.
All right. One out of two is finished varsity.
Yeah.
Skip that. Anyway. You know, we don't have kids.
Yeah. I think that's a biggie.
The main one. We haven't made offspring unintentionally.
We own a company.
We own a motherfucking company.
And we own the Crystal Entrance Ways. Yeah, Crystal Entrance Airways.
On the worst way.
Yeah, if you want to hit us up at Twitter and join the conversation at @_worst, guys, please do, man. Any of you. It's
fucks with the likes of Gareth. What's
up? Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Fist bumps. That's you what know, we're talking about, yeah.
From sitting in corners in the classroom to sitting on Gareth's corner offices.
You know what I'm saying? We out, yeah.
So yes, our
parents,
our parents
shouldn't be too disappointed.
Yeah.
Regardless.
The thing is, the more they put, you know, I'd like to call it shackles.
Yeah.
You creating a creative block.
Yeah. I think that's where the difference between different races and different cultures of parents comes in, because I definitely do believe that black families are more shackled than white families are, just to make that.
But it's understandable as well to a certain degree.
Because to a certain degree black children can't fail. You know, you don't have that security, that thing to fall back on, that you just have to succeed.
Yeah, it's like 8 Mile. Your whole life is 8 Mile. Yeah. You only got one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow.
And in all likelihood, and this obviously is a broad generalization, but it stems from the truth, is that if you're coming from a wealthier, previously privileged family, you're more likely to be able to put yourself into the position where you can gain financial advancement, get a job, or do something that puts you in a better off position. And I think that's where black children are limited in terms of the artistic potential and the sporting potential that black children have. Because,
like Kanye West said, all he needs is the infrastructure.
All you need is the infrastructure. And
that's not in place for them.
For black families a lot of the times, because it's the whole, you have to go to school, you have to get your degree, and you have to get a job. Like, that's just the best way, the safest way we're going to survive out here.
And it shows in sports as well. I mean, like, compare it this way, right? You've got Stacy and you've got Nomsa, all right? And they both have sons in a certain school. Let's say St. Stithians, all right? They both play the exact same way in terms of talent.
Yeah.
But now, you know, Stacy's son, you know, can get the new Slazenger cricket bat and everything.
Yeah.
You know, now Thabo has got a jam with the old Mauve Zine. Who's going to be better? Obviously, if you got the infrastructure in place, you're going to be better.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, you can't necessarily only blame it on there's not enough fairness in the cricket structure and the teams or sporting or anything.
Any sport, yeah.
It's just, you need to look at it from the beginning, from the base.
Yeah, from the ground. Who had an advantage from the beginning?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. But I must say that in my watching of the white people, it's like I'm on National Geography now. National Geography.
And in their habitat.
In their habitat.
They have dinner at 7 p.m. That's early.
Yeah, and they tend to eat around the table more often than black families do.
You know what I've noticed as well? Like, they'll have the dinner sometimes, they go for a walk afterwards, they digest, and they know about healthy living.
Or I'd say, like, just the culture around the table is the most surprising
to me.
Have a meal together. They'll even pass over a drink to their child at a young age. Like, most of my white friends' first drinks was before they turned 18 and was given to them by their parents. You know?
And the reasoning for that is rather do it in front of me than behind my back.
So that you don't end up abusing it.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel is the distraction between black families and white families, is that black people are still held back. We still
don't
understand.
And look at it like this as well. Like, the more you withhold something from someone, when they actually get it, they enjoy it so much that now they just don't know when to stop.
Exactly. And that's why there's a bottle store on every corner in the hood. In the township, there's a bottle store, because we don't understand it, you know. And I definitely do believe that allowing freedom is important in raising a child, because, you know, relationships, for example, how your parents accept relationships on your side, because they have to understand that you are going to be in relationships. A lot of the times I felt like maybe I have to hide who I'm in a relationship with, because I never seen acceptance of me being in a relationship, or we never really spoken about it. And I definitely do believe that there is more freedom in that space. And what we need to work on as Black people is accepting that we are humans. We're not going to live to this ridiculous expectation of our parents or of anyone, really.
Dude, on the relationships, how many times in junior school, not even high school, did you see your friend, your mate get picked up by his girlfriend's mother?
Yeah.
And you're like, how, bruh?
Yeah, I feel you.
And then you look at us, Oskaba Jola, Olumnyan, Oskaba Walik, Oho Jola, Olumnyan, Kitor. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Now, when I actually go chat to a girl now, then you get too excited about these things.
Maybe time.
But so what I'm saying is,
we've
like,
dodged that bullet
too many times.
Yeah.
Wait, no, actually.
Not yet. Let's just, before we call it prematurely. Yeah. So I definitely do believe that there is a difference in terms of culture and the way cultures raise their children.
Hey, two buck of a difference.
The hitting your kids. What do you think about children getting hit? I genuinely don't have I don't see a big problem with it, as long as it's not abuse.
Yeah, no, like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it or not. Like, if he really gets buck with me, like, I'm gonna fuck a kid up.
I'm gonna fuck a kid up.
No, honestly speaking. Like,
yeah.
If you do some stupid ass shit as a child, like
smash the TV with a baseball bat.
And as soon as my son, like, my daughter is gonna be my angel for life.
Yeah.
My son, the minute he thinks he can. Yes, go in a room. I lock that room. Let's go.
Let's go.
You're a man now. You're a man now. Let's see you, man.
Yeah. Did you ever get hit as a kid?
But the thing is, it wasn't even about they're trying to fuck me up. Like, I knew if the belt came out, it was for a good reason.
It was for a good reason, especially when you have to go fetch it yourself.
Yeah, you thought you were smart. You go fetch. You know, you get those textile belts.
Yeah.
Yes, as I went to go fetch one of those, and my dad, someone tells me, "Yeah, you think you're smart, ne? Yeah, Rima, bro, PVC pipe. That thing, you hear it before it hits you."
Yeah, I see.
So yeah, man. I don't think I'll boost my kid, man.
I love my parents, and the way I've been raised. It's just, I definitely do feel like, as this new generation, the people coming forward, we need to start re-looking at how we... I know my kid is going to have sleepovers for days. I'm going to give him his first dope probably like 16, 17.
Yeah. No, dude, they're getting younger. I say 14.
14,
yeah, bro. Yeah, B.
If you can drink juice, you can drink beer.
Hey, man. If you can drink spoiled apple juice, you can drink a cider.
Or baby's milk. You can.
You know, if you can suck in the tea, you can do wonders.
You can do wonders, yeah.
No, I'm joking.
So, like, for me, I don't know. I'm not a parent yet, so I obviously don't understand what the issue is, how difficult a job like that can be. Because, you know, human beings aren't easy in general. So now here you are trying to raise this human being into the best possible person it could be, and even if you do a great job, it could fuck out. It could turn into a fuck up, which is a lot of pressure and unnecessary pressure.
I feel as parents get older, you know, they think they're getting wiser, but the wisest man said that I know nothing.
Yeah,
that there was a saying like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of things that we can teach our parents, because the thing is, we are more adaptable to, you know, technology and shit like that.
The new world,
you know, and they also need to try and open us and realize that they can learn from us, you know.
Yeah. I do feel that sometimes letting go is difficult of the way things are. And that's actually maybe a topic for next week. We can talk about change, because letting go of what things are can be difficult. You know, people must have been shocked when apartheid was over, seeing Black people in the mall now.
Is it over?
Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, and I think it's kind of similar for the older generations or our parents' generations, in the sense that the world has changed dramatically. Even just for the time that I've been here, I'm like, whoa, the way people thought when I was 15, 16 in high school is so different totally to the different. Way people think now. And I can only imagine that it's going to get crazier and crazier, because the more information we feed ourselves, the smarter we're going to get, apparently. Mm. That's supposed to be how
it works.
It's
that internet, man. It's that internet.
It's that internet doing the most things, bro. But I do genuinely believe that it can be tough to let go. And that's the crux of the relationship with the parent and the child, is where when you become a grown up, when have you released yourself from your parents' clutches? Is it when you move out of home? Is that the clear cut sign? Is it when you stop asking for money? Is it when you have your own freedoms, even if you live in the home? What do you think is the point where you can say, okay, I'm a grown up now. The only time I'll hit up my parents is if we're having Sunday lunch.
Yeah. As soon as I move out.
As soon as you move out, that's it. All right. I can roll with
that. Let me live my life.
Bro. Yeah. But there are, you don't think there's cases where the parents are letting their children do... Okay, you can never really do anything you want.
Yeah, if you're still with the confines parents, of your parents' house...
You're not
at your full potential.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. I can accept that as a definition. Okay, so if you're unhappy, move the fuck out of your house. Your parents are probably tired of you sitting there anyway, because they've been raising you for 25 years, yo. That's a long time as well, and I wouldn't be able to deal with that. All right. So just to...
Like, 24 years of monthly debit orders, bro.
Yes, and school is not cheap. School is not cheap. So thank your parents for the love. We're just trying to understand the relationship between the two. We are equal and we do love each other. And I love what my mama and my papa have done for me in my life. So yeah, show your parents some love. And I just want to talk a little bit about what we're getting up to in the next week. We are going to be at the Lyric Theatre in Gold Reef City on Sunday the 11th.
That's right, it's the Cliff Miss Carols, baby.
Yeah, don't even think about getting a taste here, because you can get it at the Lyric Theatre in Gold Reef City on Sunday the 11th of December.
Like, I don't think you guys understand the performance that myself and Mark can put on. Like, those who came to Carnival City just got off the comedy and a little bit of a song.
Yeah.
But when we actually say we're going to do the thing.
Yeah. We're going to rap. We're going to blow the stage up. It's going to be so insane.
And I feel sorry for them if they can't come watch it, or they can't get this on DVD.
DVD or the song. You must at least buy the song. Yes. We must put it on
buy
iTunes.
The song.
iTunes. Yeah, so that all proceeds go to Headway Gauteng. That's 100 rand a ticket. So please come through to Gold Reef City, the Lyric Theatre, and that's where it's all be happening. As usual, we're going to wrap out with some freestyle with the worst guys. It's been a dope ass conversation. Tell your mama you love her, tell your papa you love her, and spread the love, yo. It's Worst Wednesday, and we do it in the worst way. Never forget to listen to us every single time. Building up too nicely, boy. Yeah. I've been saying the same thing every day, and you don't even know my way. I come out here when I play, and it's the same thing, but it's okay, cause I do it in an easy way. You still trying to figure out where to go. I'm here, I'm in line with my soul. I'm meditating every day, and all you do is sit on your knees and pray, and it's good, cause God out there is looking out for you too. And I mean, dude, what do you have to lose? You don't even have to try to be cool, just be you, and you'll be the one you were always meant to be. Cause I mean, I see these other MCs, and they're trying to be me, Malcolm Dooley. I say you can't rap on a beat like me, cause I'm always on my feet like Happy Feet. I'm a penguin, and I'm always wearing a bow tie, and you know I'm always looking so fly. I wanna be a fucking worst guy. Say why?
Worst Wednesday, worst Wednesday, worst Wednesday, worst Wednesday. By the fucking worst guys, by the fucking worst guys, by the fucking worst guys, by the fucking worst guys. Worst Wednesday, worst Wednesday, worst Wednesday. Worst Wednesday, by the fucking worst guys, by the fucking worst guys, by the fucking worst guys, by the fucking worst guys.
R-E-H-A-B on the mic right now. I'm in town, J-H-B is why I reside. Everybody know my Bonnie and Clyde is my ride and die. And that's M-O-R-G-A-N, Morgan. I say it again and again and again. Get it in your head, I ain't fucking with nobody but myself.
Yeah.
Hey, 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 I ain't trying to get nobody but my wealth. Hey, 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 and I gotta get the shackles off my feet, cause I feel the heat, I gotta put the shit on repeat. Get the fuck out the kitchen if you can't handle the heat. By the worst guys, by the worst guys, by the worst guys, by the worst guys, by the fucking worst guys.
Thank you very much for listening to the worst guys, yo. It's been a pleasure as usual. We out. CliffCentral.com.